Afrelechen Shushan Burim. Today's daf is Bamitzia Daf Chavav, Bamitzia Chavav. Let's pick up from the Mishnah Chav Hei Amid Beis. We left off from Mishnah right towards the bottom of the page. Matzah Begal. If one found a Mitzia Begal in a pile, that's a pile of stones from a wall that collapsed. Uvikas Yashin, where he actually found the Mitzia in an old wall. The wall that collapsed is also an old wall. Halach Azrei Elishalai. The finder is allowed to keep it, Rashi points out. The Gemara Mefarish, the Gemara doesn't explain, but the halacha clearly is, Rashi speak out already over here, and others speak out in the Gemara, we're talking about an item which potentially could have a simon on it. But the point is, it was in an old wall. It's been there for a long time, and we assume the current homeowner, or the owner of this wall, may not be the one who owned who put the metziah there. It was there long before he was on the property. And therefore, whoever finds it is allowed to keep it. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. Similarly, matzah b'kais chadash. I say similar in purpose. If you find it in a newer wall just means it wasn't a wall that was there from the times of the Emirim, of the nations of the world, of the Goyim, that were there before Klai Yisrael conquered Israel. But that just means, it just means newer than that. But it could still be a relatively old wall, just chadash. It's from not dated pre-Klai Yisrael conquering the land. Okay. Halacha as follows. If the metziah is in a newer wall, mechatzei v'lachutz, shalai. If it's found on the outer half of the wall, you assume it was from a passerby, someone walking by and hit something in the empty crevice of the wall in the outer half, and that guy lost it. The guy is not going back. He forgot about it, and therefore the finder can keep it. However, mechetze vilifnim shabalabayis. If it's on the inner half of the wall, then it belongs to the balabayis. Inner half of the wall, it belongs to the balabayis. We assume the balabayis put it there, and therefore it remains his. It's not an aveda. It was put there, and the finder cannot take it. We'll see more again, more about the Gemara as well. We're going to discuss why in all cases aren't we saying the wall of the balabayis, even in the first line of the Mishnah, let the wall of the balabayis, old wall, new wall, it belongs to him. Let it be kaina with chatzer, and the metziah should all be his. Taisa addressed that top taisa on chav vamnal. Forget there. In a moment, let's first read the Gemara, and then we'll get to it. Says the Mishnah further. What if it was a house that the balabais rents out? If there's a house he rented out, and something's found, even inside the house itself, it belongs to him. Now, who's him? So the Ritva brings two pshatim. Ritva brings from the Rush that him is the Seicher. Even inside the house, it belongs to the Seicher. He's the one renting the house, and therefore, he's the one presumably that found it. He gets to keep it. He's the one renting the house. The Ritva himself says, no, it means the Baal Bayis. The Baal Bayis who owns the house, and even though he rents it out to others, so he's not the one living there, and likely it was lost by one of the people living there, he ultimately gets to keep it once they've left. He's Kaina. And the Farshim say, according to the Ritva, we're talking about after the Seicher has left. The Seicher is still there right now, and it's found while the Seicher is there. Then, of course, he's the current renter, and it's found in the domain while he's there. You'd assume it's his, but we're talking about after the Seicher has left. But again, if Harei Shalei Mishnah says it's his, Shalei is a pronoun, what does Shalei mean? Doesn't mean his, the finder, which the finder being the Seicher, the one renting it, that's the Rush, or doesn't mean the Baal Bayis, that's the Ritva. Okay. Tana. Says the Gemara. We learned in a Braisa about our Mishnah. The reason the Mishnah why the finder is allowed to keep something in a pile of a collapsed wall or an old wall that's standing, whether it's standing or collapsed, the finder can keep it is because he can say to the owner of the wall, these objects that have been in the wall forever, they've been there since the time of the Mayrim, that predates you, it predates you and the people before you, predates all the people that lived, all the Yidden that moved, conquered, and lived in Eretz Yisrael, it predates them, and therefore it's certainly considered hefker. It's permissible for whoever wants to come take it. Ask the Gemara, out to a Mayrim Matzni, show the Matzni? What do you mean? Only a Mayrim hide things in the wall. That was their minig. And since then, later generations, Yidden, don't hide things in the wall. They also hide things in the wall. So how could you assume, how could you claim it's from that Mayrim from way back when? The Gemara answers, Leitzricha. What are we talking about here? Like a Hachav of Mayaskinan, as Yehuda likes to say, Leitzricha. The Shasach Tvei, top words on Chav of Manav. The Shasach Tvei. Shasach Tvei literally means, according to Argir, the Shasich. With Ch and the Chaf, it's like Rusty. Jump into the top Rashi, and Rashi elaborates. Helu Chulda Rabba de Kulai Leshavaklu. It's like old and rusty. That means it's been left for a very long time. It's not the normal. Even if we're saying that people would put something there and yet then put things in the wall, they don't leave it there for such a long time. The fact it's so rusty, we assume it's been there forever and ever. That's why he's able to claim it's been there since that Mayrim, and therefore the finder is allowed to keep it. Now, the first and ready, they speak out again. If we're talking about a case where it has a simon. If it has a simon, we learned that if it's a simon and there's a suffix that it was put there on purpose, you have to leave it there. Why are you allowed to take it? So now, with that in mind, the first answer with what we just spoke out, first answer, that since it's talking about something which is rusty, it's been there forever. Therefore, we can assume even with the siman, even derech yinuach, the owner can be long dead, but certainly long despaired from ever getting it back, and therefore the finder is allowed to keep it. But the bomb question we already pointed out was, for the top Tosfos, very nice. So it's been there for a long time, rusty wall. We said even in the Kais HaChadosh, the newer wall, still we're talking about a case, again, where it's been there, where it's very rusty, it's been there for a long time, and therefore that must be, that. And by the way, the Gemara sounds like we're talking only in the first line of the Mishnah about item that's rusty by the old wall, by the Kais HaChadosh, not, but Rashi, the Mishnah clearly says, by the case of Kais HaChadosh, half, the inner half belongs to the Babayas, outer half belongs to the finder. And Rashi says, we're talking about a case of Shasech. Rashi learns the Gemara's answer of Shasech, of Rusty's going in that case as well. Even when we're talking about a newer wall, still it's a rusty item, and therefore we can assume that the owner, well, whoever put it there was Miyayish, and therefore the finder can keep it. If it's on the outer half, the inner half, we assume it belongs to the Baal Bayis, and therefore he keeps it. But ask Tosfos, in all the cases, it should go to the Baal Bayis. Why? Because it's in his chatzar. It's in his wall, it's in his chatzar. And a chatzar of a person's kind to jump into the top Tosfos on Chavav Min Aleph. Vim Taimar, Velekne Chatzar of the Baal Agal. Why isn't the chatzar a way of being kind for the Baal Agal? In the first case, the Mishnah, the owner of the pile of the wall that collapsed. Baal Kaisel, or in the second case, by the Baal Kaisel, let the owner of the Kaisel or Gal be kind of Yeshleimar. Big set of tesis. I'm going to have a few answers. The Rishonim, all, not all, but many Rishonim address this question. I'm going to go through various answers. Tesis' answer is, how will you say this in Kenya Chatzar? Tesis' answer is, Dein Chatzar Kaina Bedavar Shiach Aliyas Shleim Senel Eilam. Chatzar doesn't work for something that you may never even be kind of, you may never find, I should say. If you may never find it, Chatzar doesn't work, which really can start getting into what is the power of the Kenya of Chatzar. But just let's keep it on a simple level. Tesis' words are, this that chatzar could work for me, something that ultimately I'm going to discover, I'm going to find, chatzar could be kind of for right now, even before I'm there, before I see it, chatzar is kind of for me. But if I may never see it, and the raya is the thing's rusty, it's been there forever, so it's something that has the possibility of never being seen, kinyan chatzar doesn't work. You can't say, I was kind of with my chatzar. It does get the basic ideas, does start to get into whether it's considered, the simple explanation is maybe plays a role, whether it's considered a chatzar that's mishtamer l'da, something you may never see, may never even know about. Hard to say that's mishtamer l'daite if you never even know that exists, or you're possibly never going to find that exists. In this case, it was found. But the point is, the finder can keep it because the Baal Bayis' chatzar is not kind of him because it was something that may never have been discovered. That is Tosfos Mahalach. The Rambam, Rambam says, no one knows about it. No one knows, it's been there for years. No one knows about it. And something that no one knows about is no different than Zuta Shayam, that which we spoke of the other daf, that the river grabs it up. It grabs someone's item, and it's, what did the Gemara call that? Avudin men mekaladam. We said that when is the Chiva Shava? Something that's only lost from the guy, right? Remember, Hirsch, you had some issues on this. Something which is lost from the fellow who dropped it, but it's still found to everybody else, meaning it's accessible to others, so they have a chiva v'shava to the guy who lost it. But something which is lost from everyone because it's swept up in a wave in the sea, and it's lost from everyone, there's no chiva v'shava. Well, guess what? Says Rambam, this is very similar. The seller doesn't know it exists. The buyer doesn't know it exists. That's called avudim menu. We call them, it's right now technically lost for everybody because it's been hidden there for years. No one even knows it's there. The fact that it ultimately got found is very nice, but it doesn't take away from the fact that a status of avudim kaldam, we're not talking about hashava now, we're talking about the din of chatzar. Chatzar will not be kind of something that's avudim kaldam. That is Rambam's logic. So logic number two. Tosfos says something which may never be found. Rambam says something which is no one knows about. It's lost for everyone. Chatzar is not kaina. Mordechai says, chatzar is only kaina shlem edaitai. Huge, huge, huge. A chilek only by classic hefker, not by yish. If I'm mafker something and it ends up in Yerushus, your chatzar is kaina. But if I'm a yayish from it, this gets back to the conversation about a kabbalio. When a person's mafker, is it considered like he's being maknet a little bit, almost like a matana, to whoever picks it up? He's saying, whoever wants to come take it, and they're taking it from the guy who's being mafker it. Or is it just a silik? He's saying, I no longer have any connection to it. So it almost sounds like, in the Mordechai at least, that the yish is like a silik. He's just saying, I give up hope on getting it, but it not be maknet, and therefore chatzar won't work. Whereas by hefker, chatzar does work, according to the Mordechai. And the Hagaris of Mashah suggests, finally, this is a big yisayid that's brought to the Baal Musar, build up on this yisayid, they bring the famous Rosh Mamitz, and the idea is that something that even if existed at the time, or specifically because existed, at the time that the house was purchased, existed, it was there already. The seller didn't know he was selling, that as part of the sale. Didn't even know it was hidden in the walls. And the buyer didn't know it was hidden in the walls. So there's no way that the seller sold to the buyer. There's no kinyan for the buyer in that item. And it was there, existed. Chatz could be kind of something new that comes in. Something that was there, b'shas the sale. And you're not kind of b'shas the sale because none of you, neither you, the buyer, or the seller knew it existed. Chatz is not kind of for you later. And it brings a raya from a story, Lazar Mitz, and the Rav Yah brings a psak. There's a shayla guy sold. I forgot the exact details of the story, but let's just say there was a hammer that was exchanged for hands. A guy sold a hammer to his friend for $15, who sold it to his friend for $14, and kept exchanging hands. And the last buyer broke open the handle and found a bunch of gold coins in there. He found gold coins. And the question was, does he have to give the guy, a whole bunch of yidden, does he have to give the guys before him? And the psak of Reblazer Mitz, again, the exact detail may be different, but this is the overall scenario, this overall case, that the psak was, since the people beforehand never knew it was there in the first place, they never really had a kinyan, they never owned it, and it's not there, it's not their loss. They didn't even know it was there. It's not their loss. They didn't know about it when they bought it. They didn't know when they sold it. It's not their loss. The Bible must bring, I mean, you can connect it to the Torah, connect it to just appreciating what we have around us, appreciating the people around us. That's why people use it by Shavrachas. People use it by Afrif to talk about the Chosin, to make sure that the new family appreciates what they're getting. If you don't understand what you're getting, it's if you never had it. So they use that as a segue. That's how the Yeshiva Shalom remembers it from back in the day. I remember this back in the day. But that's the... You know, in some of the speeches that they use this for blessing mitzvahs. But the point is, something you don't know you have, you never had it. You technically it was in your domain, but if you don't use it, the most obvious connection could just be kaychas. Each one of us have kaychas inside us. If we don't use it, it's as if we never had it, or we wasted it, but as if we never had it. Okay. Anyway, back to our point. That's four or five different explanations why chatzer is not kaina. Quickly outside again. We'll go backwards. The Gars of Hashar brought this idea that since the buyer and seller didn't even know about it, b'shas, the sale, and it was in the wall already, the chatzer can't be kind of something which no one even realizes it exists, that it's there. It's similar to Taisvis. Go back when go out of order. Back to Taisvis was that something which you may never find. Chatzer is not kaina, even though you ultimately found it. Since you may never have found it, chatzer can't be kind of that. Rambam's answer was that it's like zuta shiyam, no one knows about it, so zuta shiyam. It's avud men called them, different issue, and therefore chatzer can't be kaina. The Mordechai, lastly, so it's four pshatim, the Mordechai's explanation is that kaina shalom midaitich by chatzer is only by hefker, not by yish. Okay, that's all answers why the chatzer isn't kaina. But we actually, we're middle, we answered the Gemara, we only got to the first two words of Chavav Malaf, don't worry, I guess the rest we'll move faster, but the first two words are, the Shasach Tvei, it was very rusty, that's our Girsa. If you look at this little letter from the Vilna Gaon, I mean, on the side of the page, Gaon Segura, and he has a different Girsa from Rambam, he brings, the Shasis, it was buried deep, not so much the cases that it was very rusty, it wasn't so much a focus on the rust, it was a focus more on the fact that it was buried deep. That's the Rambam stress. It's buried very deeply, therefore, it's been there for a long time. The assumption is the current owner had no shaykhs to it, and that's why the finder could say, it's been there since the Amayram, it's been there a long time, and I'm kind of it. That's the most answer. Nothing, now it's rust, but the fact that it's buried deep. Okay, interestingly, Tor brings both Rashi's Psha. So if you find an Aved in a wall, and it's rusty, and it's buried deep, you'll have to keep it. And the Mefarshim are bothered, why is Tor being Rashi and Rambam? Rashi and Rambam arguing which one it is, rusty or deep. The Torah is being both. What's the pshat that the Torah is being both? As I affect the Shach. Shach says, Mestam, because the Torah is Mesupik. The Torah is Mesupik, which one it is. And therefore, he said, in order to be able to keep it, you got it, you have to have both. As I zogt the Shach. However, the Nesiva says, Gshmak pshat, based on our Tosfos. Even though Rambam himself gives different terrors, Nesiva says that the Torah is bothered by Tosfos' issue that the Chayra, the Chatzer should be kaina. So the Torah really goes like Rashi, that rusty is the reason. But he was bothered that maybe you should still be kaina. You should be kaina because, maybe you should be kaina because Chatzer is kaina. And the Baba should still be able to keep it even if it's rusty. On that, the Torah answers that's what the Torah says. Also, it was buried deep. It says Rambam inside, that was buried deep in order to make sure and say why it may never be found, like Taisvis, and therefore the Chatzer will not be kaina. So the Nesivus learns up in the Torah that he's coming to Bavarn. Taisvis is Kasha. Gevaldig. Zakhtar Reiter. We said in the Mishnah, if the mitzvah was found in a new wall, from the outer half belongs to the finder, inner half belongs to the babayis. Ravashi sakina. Ravashi gives almost like a qualification. A knife, which typically has a handle. So if it's found in the wall, basakati, you go based on where the handle is. You don't go based on where the knife is. You go based on where the handle is. Fakisa, basashanse. And similarly, a purse, you go based on the straps. So you don't go based on where it is, where the even the bulk may be. You go based on where the handle is, because that's clearly where it was placed. It was placed wherever the handle is. That's where it was placed. From that side. The Mishnah made a different chiluk. The Mishnah made a chiluk between inward and outward, you know, the inner half, outer half. Why are you saying that? I should really say it better. We're not even talking about inner half and outer half. We're saying if the handle is facing closer to, facing the side that's outside the wall to the, you know, passerbyers, then we assume it was a passerbyer that put it on the wall. And if the knife, the sharp part is on that side, and the handle is on the inside coming from the babayis, it doesn't make a difference if it's in the first half of the wall or second half of the wall. Wherever the handle is, whichever side the handle is towards, that's the side that it belongs to. It belongs to babayis. So the Chara Mishnah, the Chara doesn't stim with this. Why are we saying half in, half, first half of the wall, or half that's closer to the babayis, say, V'lechzi, ikat l'gav, ikat l'bar. Ishan to the gav, ishan to the bar. Why don't you look where the handle or the purse straps are? If it's on the inside, then it's from the babayis. If it's towards the outside, then it's for the passerbyers. That should be the deciding factor. Now, the Mishnah, the Gemara is really going to answer this. The Gemara could have simply answered two answers. First of all, the Gemara could have said, who said that the knife or the purse is going directly from front to back, meaning facing from inside the wall to outside the wall, vice versa, in which case, just look at the handle, maybe it's going lengthwise. Maybe there's a hole in the wall, and you put it lengthwise. So now we got to see. The handle gives me no indication because it's not facing the street or the inside of the house. It's facing lengthwise. So on the outer half of the wall, passerbyers. On the inner half of the wall, the baal bayis. But that could have been a simple terrence. The Merlecher could have said such an answer. But the Gemara also could say, and this is going to be the Gemara's answer, we're talking about someone who doesn't have a handle. Very simple taina. When there's a handle, you're right, that's an eitzah. Answer the Gemara, masisa ma'udra. That's the Mar's answer. Budi Vinaska, the Mishnah about a case of Udra, which they tie just like some materials that don't have, even unfinished materials, like stuffing for a pillow, for a mattress. Uvanaska, Naska, we always know, is like just a bar of metal, a bar of silver. Those things don't have handles, and therefore the handle cannot be the deciding factor. Says Gemara, Tana, we look to the Baisa, in my case, Mulim, if the wall was full of them, if the wall was completely full, Chalkin, they split it. The stuff on the outer half goes to the finders, stuff on the inner half goes to the Balabayas. Marzab Shita, you already told me that what's on the inner half is the Balabayas, what's on the outer half is the finder. What passerby, why would I think this is different? Let's say the wall was a little bit on a slant. It was on a slant towards one direction. So I would say, if it's on a slant towards one direction, then I would say that really all of it was on one side, and the fact that it's on the other side is because it was slanted down, and it rolled there. But let's just say the higher level was on the side facing Shus Rabim, and the lower level is on the side facing the Baal Bayis. So I would say really maybe all of it, and I find half and half, so maybe I should say all of it belongs to the finder, and it really all belongs to the outside, and it's just that some of it rolled to the inside, but really it was left by a passerby, and it should be mutter for the guy walking by to keep it, the one who found it, to keep it. Kamash Shmuel, we don't say that. We said in the Mishnah, in my maskir l'achirim, if the house was rented out to others, if the house was rented out to others, then even that which is found inside the house, remember we pointed out before, Machlokes Ritva, whether it means Rush, whether it means Shalai the Seicher, or Shalai the Baal Bayis, but the point is that you don't go with the regular dinim, you don't say that it's been there forever, and this house was rented out, and you don't go with the simple, it belongs to the, according to the tzad of the Rush, that it belongs to the Seicher. You don't say it belongs to the Baal Bayis because it's his house. No, it's rented out, and therefore it belongs to the Seicher. According to the Ritva, it's opposite. Since the people that are there left, it belongs to the Baal Bayis. But ask the Gemara about a Shtar Ketaina. We know the halacha elsewhere is that we assume last one is the most likely. So here too, why don't we just assume the last guy to rent it was his? Ain't by my laser bus basper. Why don't we go based on the last person living in the house? And we bring a long raya from a Mishnah and Shkolim, which discusses the dinim of Maisa Shein. It actually discusses things that are found, money that's found in Eretz Yisrael at various times, and why they have to assume it's Maisa Sheni money. We know, just to remind ourselves, that people who have separated, set aside Maisa Sheni year 3 is Maisa Rani, but then again, year 4 and 5. So 1, 2, 4, and 5, you separate Maisa Sheni, and you got to take those produce to Yerushalayim. But if it's too much of a shlep, you can transfer the kedusha onto kesef. It's hard to kesef edecha. You add a chaimish, and you transfer the value, the kedusha for the payers onto money. Take the money and spend in Yerushalayim. And they actually often used to spend the two things. They used to spend the money in Yerushalayim, and they would actually buy animals because it's easier to spend that. They don't want to stay there forever. Spend that amount of money on more expensive product like an animal, and bring it as a carbon, or bring it stam as a shechta for meat, as opposed to buying payers. Number one, number two, if they were there for a while and they wanted to leave already, they would just give away as a gift all their monies, Maisa Sheni monies, to locals to say, you benefit, you eat this, we can't stay here anymore, but this has to be in Yerushalayim, so you eat it. Okay, so with that in mind, let's see the Mishnah. Milak Tadim, the Mishnah in Perek Zayin of Shkalim, says the Mishnah, Maisha Nimtzu, if you find Stam money. Lefnei Seichem Behemah, by those who sell animals. In Yerushalayim, the animal dealers, Leila Meiser. It's always Meiser. Why? Like we spoke out, because the people who are coming to Meiser Sheni money, one of the chief usages of their money would be to buy animals in order to spend as much money quickly on food. They would buy animals, therefore you have to assume most of that money is Meiser Sheni money. Now the Tosfos is bothered that when you find money in front of the Seichem Behemah, well, it depends who dropped it. If it's the guy who's coming with Meiser Sheni and they dropped it, so then, yes, Meiser Sheni money. But if they already spent it, meaning if they already bought the animal, so the chulin went, the ketushin went for the money onto the animal now is chulin. If the animal seller dropped the money, then that money is chulin. So why are we assuming the money is hektish? Because the people who brought the money dropped it, maybe you should assume that the animal sellers dropped it, and it already was neschal, the money. Bam kasha from Tosfos. Says Tosfos. Tosfos says, short Tosfos la'ilam, ma'isir ve'ilidleis dimin meichim naflu, ukra ma'is chulin, maybe it's ready chulin, she'neschal la'behema. Why? Two truths. Does Lina Basleichin Davi Ruba Demeicher Echad Meichel Bei Kamayim Biadim? Today's is a very interesting svara. This is a whole sugi of itself. There's a lot of these lines in today's daf, many daf mavasiya, which we're just going to read dafemi style. But today says svara number one. There was one seller. There's many buyers of behemoths that are coming up to Eretz Yisrael to buy to transfer their money into animals. So since there's many buyers and one seller, when we know the money fell from one person, we can assume that it fell from the many, the buyers, as opposed to the seller. It's almost like you have a rave. Again, that's a big discussion in the powers of rave, because yes, there's many more buyers numbers wise than sellers, but the amount of animals being sold and the amount of buyers buying it, that equals out. So one seller can sell 10 animals to 10 different people, but at the end of the day, there were 10 exchanges and the seller was involved in all 10. So there's equal possibility that the seller dropped money than the buyer, unless you say, right? The seller deals with this money all day and he's more careful, and the buyer not. But this idea that there's more buyers than sellers, chiddush, okay, that's rave number one in Tosfos. V'eid, the mukmin la chazak davi ma'is. Tosfos says another svara. The monies was ma'is. That's clear. When these monies were brought to Yerushalayim, they were ma'is monies. The question was, did they lose the status yet? So we say, money's found over there. We know for sure they came in as ma'iser. We're not sure if it got exchanged yet and lost the kedusha. So we say, put on a chazaka, and we assume that money in front of the Seicher Behem is still ma'iser. Okay, next. Leila ma'iser. Barabayas. Money's found, Bahar Bayis, those are chulin. Those money are considered to be chulin. Why are those chulin? Because the idea is that this is the time that the margin make a chilek. Let's go to the next line. Let's go to the next line. We'll appreciate it. Vishalayim, to Yerushalayim, b'shayim b'sashana chulin, b'shasar regla kol ma'aser. In Yerushalayim, it depends when. Throughout the year, you can assume it's chulin. Most money there is chulin. Is not. If people aren't being on the regal, then they didn't come up with the ma'aser monies. So therefore, we can assume it's not kaddish. It's chulin. But if it's shasa regal taka, then you have to assume that all the monies that came up are ma'aser sheni monies. They're being brought up. Most of the money is being brought up from people being on the regal, taking the ma'aser sheni, and therefore you have to assume that it's kaddish b'shasa regal. But again, Harabayas. So Harabayas, the reason Rashi explains, the reason why Harabayas we're saying is considered chulin, and we're not just saying it throughout the year. Rabbi Shai Mitzvah, we said, we're saying that even Yishlayim is chulin. But Harabayas saying it's always chulin, even Beregel, Rashi says, even Shalosh Regalim. The idea is because we assume that monies you found there didn't necessarily fall just now. It may have fell throughout the year, and it was just found right now. Since it may have fell throughout the year and just found right now, I'll be right, the money throughout the year is not Ma'aser Sheni money, and therefore need not be concerned. But Yerushalayim, the assumption is, Shayim Ma'aser Sheni is chulin, but Shasa Regel, we say it's all Ma'aser. The Mara elaborates, V'amar B'shmai B'rab Zira, my time, Hov Shuk Yerushalayim, Asun Lishchab B'chayim. The reason why we made a chiluk between Harabayas and Yerushalayim is because the Shuk Yerushalayim used to be swept every day. The marketplace of Yerushalayim was swept every day. By the way, the reason why they did it actually was very much, there are a couple reasons, but one of the reasons was to avoid Tuma. They want to avoid this. They used to sweep up to avoid Tuma, to avoid these little critters that can make a dead critter, can make a Kayan Tame, or make, you know, people eating Kachem, then people eating Chuma over there. There's a lot of Kanem there. You want to make sure that there was a Tuma was avoided, number one. Number two is also to make sure that that's Shuk Yerushalayim. And therefore, since it's swept regularly, so the assumption is that the monies that are found there today are from today, not from earlier. By Harabayas, they didn't have that daily sweeping. And that was another point I was about to make, because Harabayas was always, Harabayas didn't have lots of mud and dirt. Harabayas was kind of on a hill, and any junk, whatever it was, would kind of just roll down. Any critters, any whatever, wouldn't stay there. Typically, they would kind of just roll down. It didn't need the daily cleansing. And therefore, over there, we could assume that what you found didn't just fall today. It may have fell throughout the year, and therefore, it's not Rav Maisa Sheni. Whereas in the Shuk Yerushalayim, which are swept every day, the assumption is whatever fell from today, right now, in season, and therefore, maybe Maisa Sheni monies. But what's the point? The point is we bring a proof of this idea of when it's feasible to say it, we say the item came at the last time possible. Like over here, the coins fell from today. So too in our chatzer that was rented to multiple people, you should say the last person to rent it should be the one that gets to keep it. You go give return the item to him because he's the one that rented last. Says Gemara, Alam Armini Kamai. As we see, the earliest stuff is gone. Vani Achrini Ninu. We say any earlier money, when they cleaned up, swept up, they found that money, and this is new money that fell recently. So too by us, in our Sugya Chanami, Kamakamaz, let's say, the earlier Metziahs that were lost were taken away by other people. The most recent Metziah that was lost is from the last tenant. Hani Basrahu, why don't we say the same thing over here as well? Mar says, you're right. Amar Shlakash from Bekapara. Kigayan, our Mish's case is, Achamayas Ginan, Kigayan, Sha'asa Pundiklai Shasay Shasrael. It was an inn that had, there was like a hostel. It was an inn that had a couple of rooms rented to 3 different people. Interesting that he picks Yisrael. The first point out for sure, if it belongs to a guy, it was 3 Gayim. But even if it was 3 Yidden, we're saying since it was 3 different people, there's no one person to attribute it to, and therefore we say it's mutter. We say whoever the finder, the Baal Bayis, is allowed to keep it. Ask them what do you mean? 3 Yisrael, if it fell from Yisraelim, amongst Yisraelim, shouldn't there be chiyuv to return it? This must be a right we had in Tubadigo from Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that when there's a bunch of people there, in this case it's like even only 3 people, when there's like a multitude of people, a lot of people, the guy drops it, just gives up hope. Even if it's Rav Yisrael, Shema Minalach Rav Shimon Melazer, Afilu Rav Yisrael. We had a discussion with Rav Shimon Melazer. We had a discussion that maybe only passed them by Goyim, maybe not by Yidden. Here we're saying that even Rav Yisrael, we're passing Rav Shimon Melazer, that we can assume, even though you don't fell from Yid, that he's Miyayish because it was amongst a bunch of people. Mar says no. Elamar Menashe Merakiv, tweak the mission to Kain Shasa Pundik. The case that we said the mission is Shasa Pundik Vashaisha Ivachavim. It was he did it as an inn for 3 Goyim, not for 3 Yidden. 3 Yidden and a Chami. Maybe you wouldn't have said that. Rav Nachman. Amar Abavua. Amar Abavua goes back. The Gemara is going back to explain, based on what we said before, from Bar Kapara, that is a pundik for Shlesh Yisrael. And he's, instead of saying it's for Goyim, go back to Shlesh Yisrael and say as follows. Afitim Shlesh Yisrael. Tell me it was a pundik for 3 Yisrael. And it's still not going to be a raya for to Rav Shimon Elazar Shita about automatically being Miyayish when there's a bunch of people there. My time, who did not be named Miyayish? The guy who fell from his Miyayish, why? Maybe Amar. He says something like this. I know there are only these 2 other people with me in the pundik, only myself and these 2 other people. I've already asked them. Now the Gemara is saying, spelling out the story for us, and the Gemara is saying that's the assumption of what happened. The assumption of what happened was that the other people were already approached. He approached them and said, I lost this item. Can you give back to me when you find it? When did you must have found it? I lost it. Give back to me. I asked them multiple times to return it to me. And they didn't return it to me. And now they're going to return it. All of a sudden, they're going to have a change of heart and they're going to return it. Namastavar. Now the Gemara is quite elaborate. The first one pointed out, again, this is like the Lashon Ga'anim, where it gets more elaborate. If they had intention to return it, they would have returned it to me. If I had Ladurli, and this they didn't return it to me, but the time makes it because they must have intent to steal it. Again, it's the same point. The point is, this is Rav Nachman's insight, and we're going to carry it over in a couple more cases now coming up. But Rav Nachman's insight is that we can do the math of how a person who dropped the item is thinking. In this case, the guy's thinking, I'm here with 2 other people. I don't know where it is. One of them must have found it. I'm asked them both for it. That's the case. He must have asked them for it already. They both denied it, so he gives up hope. So it's not pshat like Rav Elazar b'Shimon's din, Rav Shimon Elazar's din, that when you drop something in a place of a bunch of people, you're assuming the worst. Whoever finds it is going to keep it. Yimayish. No. If it's a bunch of Yidden, dropped by Yidden, found by Yidden, you're hoping to get it back. But in this case, he's already asked them, and he knows the 2 people who it is. He knows the culprits, one of these 2, and the guy's not admitting it, so he gives up hope because he doesn't think anything's going to change. The Mar now explains, as Rav Nachman Tamei, Rav Nachman goes to this reasoning, the Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says elsewhere, a similar halacha ra sela. If a guy sees, it's clear, the story is he sees from a distance. So he didn't, because if he saw exactly who it fell from, avad, he'd return it. He sees a sela, a coin, shenafal top of a maze b'shnem from 2 people, chayav lachzer. He's got to return it. He's got to return it to the 2 people. My time, I know why. The point over here really is that the 2 people who dropped it weren't Miyayish. It was 1 person. One of the 2 people dropped it, and we're saying he wasn't Miyayish. Why? Why wasn't he Miyayish? Because Ahud Nafman, the guy who fell from, Le Miyayish, Me'emer, Amr, he says to himself, Michti, Yenish, Echwin, Lava, Ma'adai. No one else was with me, just this other guy. Elahai, Naktinale, Vaminale, onto the Shakasai. I'll pressure him till he admits that it was him that found it, that he took it. It's very ironic because ultimately the Shustra over here is a third party is the one that found it. And we're just saying, according to Rav Nachman, the third party has to give it back because the guy who lost is not Miyayish because he's assuming he'll be able to press the guy it was with him, that you found it, and you should get back to me. The irony is that it wasn't that guy that has it. But the point is, that's not what we care about. We care about the fact that the guy who lost it is not being miyayish. Okay, so now next case, similar story, but now with three people. Says Gemara, Bishleisha, if he saw a coin from three people, again, he's a distance away. He saw a four from one of them, not sure which one, and now he wants to know if he can pick it up and keep it, or assume that the guy has intent to get it back. The guy's confidence, the guy was not miyayish. Halacha follows, ain't chayv lachzer. In this case, he could keep it. Why? My time of this, what we had before with the two people in the pundik. My time, who did not me vada miyayish, the guy who dropped it is miyayish. Meimar, he says himself, michdi, trei havi badai. I had two. There were two people with me when I lost the coin. In this case, as if them before. Before, he said he confronted them already, and they denied it, and therefore he gave up hope. Here we're saying, the guy says to himself, if I confront this guy, he'll deny it and say, I didn't take it. And I go to the other guy, I can't prove which one took it, and therefore he's not confident to get it back, and he gives up hope. This is interesting. The Rishonim point out that we must be talking about a case when the coin fell, they were sitting down. And then afterwards, they got up and they moved away. But if they were standing, walking, then if one of them would bow down to pick it up, it would be too noticeable. So the guy would notice, even if he didn't realize when he dropped it, he would have noticed one of the guys picked it up, bent down to pick it up, and he'd be able to find the culprit. So it must be, we're talking about when they were sitting down. And when he's sitting down, a guy could pick something up that fell down, could reach for it, and it will be less noticeable. And that must be the case. I'm a Rava. Rava's going to give some psak, which really goes together with the Rav Nachman's ideas. Hi, Damrit, this that you said, Rav Nachman, B'shashen Echai V'Lachzer, that by three, there's no chiv lachzer. Unless be shavur pruta, l'chol chavchad. It's only if there wasn't enough that fell to be a shavur pruta to all three. Avos be shavur pruta l'chol chavchad. If I see money fall from amongst three people, and there's enough money to be a shavur pruta, so we're qualifying in a major way. If there's enough money to be a simple shavur pruta for all three, meaning three shavur prutas there, chayv lachzer. Then he has to return. You know why? My time aimer shifin in, because there's a possibility they're all partners. No one's hiding anything from each other. One guy was holding the money for the group, and he dropped it. He dropped part of the money. If it's found, it's no back to all of them. And therefore, if each one's entitled to pruta, then there's a chiv hashava. Less than a pruta, there's no chiv hashava. So if it's less than three prutas for three people, you don't got to worry about it, because the whole tzad is that it belongs to three. If it belongs to one, he's miyayish. If it belongs to three of them, then they're not miyayish, but guess what? It's less than a pruta. So if it's three prutas, then we say you got to return it. Ema shifin in, maybe the partners for the miyayishi, and they were not miyayish. Ikdami, some say I'm Rava. Afagav, let's say Elishab, prutas. Rava says, even if is only the value of two prutas, chayav lachzer, he's got to give back. Not three prutas, even only two prutas. Why? L'chayra, two prutas for three people is less than a pruta per person. L'chayra, that shouldn't be enough to have a chiv hashava. Says Gemara, my time, we say, maybe they talk about partners. You have to be concerned that maybe they're partners, and one of them was mechlis chelik to the other ones, and therefore, if one of them is mechlis chelik to the other ones, then the other ones do have, the other two, do have a pruta's worth. They do have a pruta's worth on their own, and therefore they would have to be called out, have to be returned. Interesting, this touches on the shaila. When we talk about you only return a shavapruta, that's, we're saying, for granted, a pruta per person. But is that so pasha? What if it's a pruta for two people? The value of his loss is a pruta, so maybe that is a chiyav hashava, even though the value to each individual person is less than a pruta. We had a similar shaila for persons mekadesh, two women, not related, obviously, not like sisters, two women with a shavah pruta. Both of you with one pruta. It's a full pruta for each one's mekadesh with a pruta, but each one is technically only getting half a pruta. So each, there's a full pruta in the kinyan, right? The shaila is that the kinyan has to be with a pruta, or does each isha have to receive a pruta, pachas menafshei, pachas mepruta, mak nafshei. So again, there's similar discussions in other cases in Shas as well. Okay, says Mark, quickly, let's get to the Mishnah. I'm going to stop. V'amar Rava, Rasal shenafa b'na'la v'yish, amanas l'geizla, Eiv Bekulon. A guy sees a coin that fell from its owner, and he picked it up before the owner's miyayish. Eiv Bekulon, he's over on all the following Isra Torah. Number one, Mishnah Ma'asikzal, he's a gazlan. He took it before Yish. Number two, there's a mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda, Mishnah Ma'asif Teshivim, he's mevatel that mitzvah. And number three, Mishnah Ma'asuch L'Salim, the Isra of hiding away from returning an Aveda. Vafagav the Chazra, Lach Yish. Even if he goes and returns after Yish, he blew it, it's too late. Matan Yavle. Once he gets back after Yish, it's too late. He's giving him a matana now. The guy's miyayish. He's giving him a matana. The surah he did is done. Tais points out that no, not so fast. The surah, the sigzel, the Torah says, v'heishav v'sagzela. A person that steals should return the gzela. So don't say it's too late for the gzela. For the first lav, the sigzel, avadi could undo it. But it's the surah related to aveda, that is That is the shaila. The assume related to the aveda, that's the shaila. If he's over, first of all, l'such l'salim, you can't turn that back. He was masalim initially, so he definitely was masalim. And some want to say, even hashiv tashivim, some of the shonim say, even that, returning it later, it's very nice returning it later, but you blew the mitzvah by initially not returning it, that's also considered blowing the mitzvah. Others say, no, it's only l'such l'salim, and not the first two. Okay. Next. What if he took it before yish with intent to return it? So he took it with the right das, returned it. And then after yish, he says, you know what? I'm going to keep it. He picked up with intent to return it. Then he says, I'm going to keep it after yish. He's only over for not fulfilling the returning it, but he's not over the sigzel, and he's not over on. He's not even the sigzel, nor is he even the such l'salim, because when he picked it up, he had intent to return it. He just happened not to have returned it, but he had intent to. Therefore, he's only over on the hashav shivim. Him to lashem sashu abaylam. Not lo, what if he only picked it up after there was yish ready? Ain't over elam mishem the such l'salim bavad. If he picked it up after the baylam yayish, then he is only over on the such l'salim, meaning he waited. What's he waiting for? Hashav Teshiva, I guess, is once you pick it up, you got to return it. But if you don't pick it up, that's the Isser of Leisuch L'Salim. He's being over that Isser by waiting. He's being over that Isser, and that's it. But then he picks it up. He's not over on the Sigzel. The guy was ready Miyash. We picked it up. He's going to be okay. There is a famous discussion, maybe the most famous Ramban, in Bava Metzia, certainly in Eil Metzias, comes up over here, when the Ramban differentiates, what's the difference if the guy picks it up with intent to steal or intent to return it? Either way, if he picks it up before Yish, it still belongs to the other guy, and he should have to return it, irrespective of what happens later. He should have to return it. Why is the difference if he picks up the steel, where he picks it up in the first place, where he picks it up initially to return it? So Ramban says a big aside, that when one picks it up to return it, what happens is, he becomes like a Shemer Aveda, which, sugis we've had already, had Bavakama, Shemer Aveda, if it's Shemer Chinam, Shemer Sachem, Shemer Chaykes, Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, back in Nakainis, right? But the point is, if I pick it up to return it to you, I become a Shemer Aveda, which means, it's your Aveda. It's as if it's in your rishus. I'm just watching it for you. So if it's in your rishus already, so interestingly enough, over there, it's more chamer, it's more difficult for it to come to me. If I picked up with intent to return it to you, and then you're miyayish, I would still, ironically enough, have to return it to you, because over there, l'chaira, it's yours. It's yours in your domain. It's considered yours, even though you're miyayish later, it doesn't make a difference. It's yish on something that's in your domain. It's not a proper yish. Whereas when I pick it up for gzela, you can't say that I'm being a shamer, and maybe I have a din of kinyan gzela, but I don't have a din of a shamer aveda for you. I stole it from you, and therefore, ironically enough, my kinyan is better in a case of gzela, in a case of shamer, in a case I picked it up to return it. Okay, Amarava, that's a big Ramban. Maybe we'll get back to it. That's a big yisayid. Amarava, Haiman dechazi dinafal zuzi mechavrei beichalza. A fellow saw that money fell from his friend into the sand. He's by the beaches, and money fell in the sand. Vashkei v'shaklei, and he found it, and he took it. He took the money. He picked the money and he kept it. He doesn't have to return it to the fellow who lost it. Why? It's Pasha, the guy who dropped it. Someone dropped something in the sand? He's miyayish. I mean, if it's a big item, maybe not. But he dropped some money, a zuz, in the sand. He gives up hope. Who finds things in the sand? It's very difficult to find something in the sand. Afagav, the Gemara says, major chiddush. Afagav, the chazit, I see arbal of a kamarbal. Even if you find him with a comb and he's trying to sift through the land, the sand, to try to find his item. So it looks like he is looking for it. No. We don't say that. What do we say? Meimar Amar, he really was miyayish. And what's the guy saying to himself? Keich denafel minay didei. Just like I dropped my coin over here, hachi nafel minay shachinah. Other people also must have lost money. And mashchina midi, I'll find something. Maybe I won't find mine. I'll find someone else's. But it's worth it for me. You know, the guys that go with the metal detectors by the beach to find things, right? The guy's saying, he's not expecting to find his own thing, but maybe I'll find someone else's and it'll be a wash. That's what we say. The bomb time is, okay, but where's he looking? Presumably, he's looking at the spot where he dropped it. So he's not miyayish. He's looking for his own if he's looking at that spot. Azay effect the Rishayim. Answer the Rishayim, very interesting. And Echrami, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that this guy's really saying that. This guy's going to look for it with this comb metal detector, modern day equivalent. He's back in the day went with a rake or some sort of sifter. He was going to look for his item, but we teach up that it's Batladaita. People don't find things in the sand, and therefore, at the very best, his best hope could be to find something someone else lost, but not what he himself lost, and therefore, lemais it's yish. It's like automatic yish, whether or not he's saying that's his das. We touch it up that way. We treat it as yish, and the finder can keep. We'll pick up the Mishnah tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.